How many of you out there would take your only child, I mean, literally your only child that you love dearly and cherish, who is so precious to you, and would send that child to another country, to a bunch of people that hated not only you, but your child as well, and offer up that child as a sacrifice and allow that child to be tortured, brutalized, bloodied, and put to death for something they didn't do in order to make peace with the people who hated you and your child by offering them forgiveness, a precious gift, and add to that peace, prosperity, eternal life, health, and so much more. How many of you would do that? And then after you did this thing, the people still hated you and your child. So how many of you, honestly, you have to really picture this, really feel it. I want you to really feel it and imagine it in your heart. How many of you can honestly say you would do such a thing, especially for a bunch of people who didn't appreciate it, who hated you and hated your child? I will bet the overall majority of you, if not all of you, if you were to answer that question, honestly, would have to say no. I mean, not even the majority of us, if not all, would do such a thing for somebody who really loved us and appreciated us. But think about it. That is what God did for us. You see, a long time ago, and you can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people no longer trusted in God, and God was very upset about this. Samuel was upset. Samuel took it personally. But Samuel went to God about this whole situation, and God was like, "Hey, Samuel, don't take this personally. It's not you they're rejecting. They're rejecting me. They no longer trust me. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you this list of things and how it's going to be to their judgment. And before they fully decide that this is what they still want to do, I want you to share it with them and then ask them if they still want to do this thing." So Samuel says, okay, and he goes to the people, God's people, Israel, and he says, okay, here is what God told me. If you want a flesh king or a human to rule over you and lead you, you're going to have to give up your children to slavery and just all these different horrible things. And by the end of it, Samuel was like, so do you still want a flesh king? And the people were like, yes, give us our flesh king. And so Samuel went and told God, and God said, let them have it. Now, keep in mind, these kings were kings over God's people, not the rest of the world or, you know, whoever was there at the time, just God's people. And they were also high priests. King David, for example, wore an ephod. So they were high priests over God's people. So throughout time, these kings got worse and worse and worse and worse and more sinful and more sinful. So finally, what does God do? This is how gracious God is. God decides, I want my people to be set apart. I mean, that's what I wanted from the very beginning anyways. Consecrated, a holy people set apart from the rest of the world. So I'm going to send my only son. My only son, I'm going to send him to teach them the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to send him as a light into the world to be sinless and perfect in every way, to be that unblemished lamb as the final sacrifice for these people. They've just fallen away so horribly. And I'm going to send my son to die for them as a sacrifice for their sin, not so that they could continue living in sin, because we're not supposed to live in sin. We're not supposed to practice it, but as a sacrifice so we could be forgiven for our sins and as a peace offering between me and mankind. Because in that peace offering, that covenant of peace, I'm going to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, the seal of salvation. That way, the seal hides their sin nature so that I don't see it. It's hidden from me. Their old man of sin, their Gentile, beast, unclean, profane sin nature will no longer exist before my eyes. So I'm going to give them this gift. So he sends Jesus, the Son of God and God in the flesh at the same time, to be our King in the flesh and to be our high priest and God at the same time. So we don't need any more human kings, right? Because we have Jesus. We don't need all these flesh kings because that's not what God wanted from the beginning. So he sends us Jesus Christ to take the penalty, to be the final sacrifice for our sins. But yet, everyone hated him. They rejected him. They accused him. And as a result, because they rejected Jesus Christ, Yeshua, God's only son, they therefore rejected God as well. They rejected him. They continued living in rebellion, sin, disobedience against God. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Remember, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, we did miracles and healed in your name and prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name or something along those lines. And then I will say, get away from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. So here we are today, many, many, many generations later, believing that we're following God, believing we love the Lord, but still living in the flesh, which is living in disobedience against God, and therefore, as a result, rejecting the gift that he gave to us. So my question for you is this. If God did all of that for us, and then some, why do we continue to practice sin and disobedience and live in disobedience against God and then say that we love the Lord? And secondly, since God sent us our King and called us to be separate from all the nations, set apart, consecrated to God, he said, our kingdom is not of this world, and we are to put to death the flesh. God's very first commandment was, have no other gods before me. Now, the word gods is also rooted in judges and political leaders. And then not only that, but before means along with, before, besides, behind, and besides me. No other gods. So, why do we still go after kings and queens and presidents in this flesh kingdom instead of just praying for the flesh kingdom as we ought to, when God already sent us our final King, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of the living God? Do you not think that that's not a slap in the face to God, who already sent his one and only son to suffer immensely and to die by way of one of the most brutal, torturous deaths that there could possibly be? To be beaten and bloodied to a pulp. You know, when they whipped Jesus, it had little nubs on it that just cut his back open, like little sharp knives sticking out. He was thirsty and dehydrated, and in fact, he suffered from so much blood loss, he would have had hypovolemic shock. He had to hang on the cross, have stakes drilled through his feet and hands, and hung there and suffocated to his death. So God did all of that for us, yet we still reject Jesus Christ, despite all the immense suffering he went through, and never even uttered a word in complaint. He quietly did what he came to do. Why do we continue to go after the ways of the flesh? Why do we continue to go after a president of the flesh kingdom? You know, this world is ruled by Satan. It says Satan is the god of the world. God gave him dominion of that. So why do we run after the king of Satan's kingdom instead of running after the king of God's kingdom, who gave up his life for us, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ? Did you know the Bible actually tells us that voting is a sin? That's right, where Paul says factions. He talks about factions. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The word factions means a choice that is specifically a party. See there? Heresy, the act of taking, capturing, storming a city, choosing or choice, that which is chosen, a body of men following their own tenets, sect or party, of the Sadducees, Pharisees, or Christians, dissensions arising from diversity of opinions and aims, and that is rooted in a word that means to take for oneself, to prefer, choose by vote, or elect to office. So if you already confessed your sins and truly, truly acknowledged Yeshua Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're walking in obedience and true love to him. Remember, true love, according to Jesus, is if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then for what reason do we need to partake in concerning ourselves with the president of a flesh kingdom? Don't you see, my friends? And I know many of you will hear this message and oppose me, but you're not really opposing me, so I take no offense. You're opposing the word of God. It is a sin and a slap in the face of God to run after the things of the flesh, including a flesh king, when God already sent his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, to be your final king and to offer to you the very things that you're running after a flesh king for. As I mentioned to you previously, peace, prosperity, health, eternal life, and much more. Running after the flesh and a flesh king hurts God's feelings, and it makes him very angry. So if you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you to take it to the Lord and pray about it and study his word and see what it has to say. Because according to the Bible, doing such a thing is a sin. Not only is it a sin on many levels, but it is also the sin of adultery against God and idolatry as a result. God loves you so very much. Won't you please today, don't waste another moment. Get alone with the Lord. Repent to him for your sins. Ask him to show you any other hidden sins, or even the ones that are not hidden that you just have trouble dealing with, you have trouble letting go of. Ask him to deliver you from the ways of the flesh. Ask him to open your heart and to open your eyes to the Lord God Almighty, his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the power of his Holy Spirit, and to the absolute truth. Go to him. Waste no more time. Don't wait until it is too late. Search the scriptures for yourself. Let go of everything you've learned, all of your misconceptions, preconceptions, anything. Let go of all of it and allow Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, to teach you what it really means. Study the words. Spend more time praying. Pray before you study. Open your eyes, because we are right at the very end.